We got to get going here this week. We got to score more points than the other team. We got to get going. It's not where we want it to be, quite obviously, but we're working hard to get it better.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the show.
No, it's not where you want to be, Bill, but where you want to be right now is right here. With us today, we got a big show today. We expect to hear from the quarterback, Deshaun Watson. He'll speak to the media, J.J. Watt, as well later on. But Clint, Bill just said they are not where they want to be. So let's dive into this because, Clint, are we looking too far into this? Or is it just as simple as they face the two best teams in the league? And, Clint, the talent gap between the Texans and teams like that are so Grand Canyon like big that's the reason why we've watched them go 0-2 and play as poorly as they have.
No chance. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why the Texans didn't play good ball. First and foremost, they played two of the best teams in the NFL. We talk a lot about Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes, but if you look at the NFL, the defensive standings throughout 2 weeks of football, they're two top 10 defenses. You got the number one defense in Baltimore and the number nine defense, I believe, in Kansas City. It's a small sample size, but that tells you they're a pretty damn good football team on both sides of the football. But when you look at this thing, there's a lot of reasons why the Texans aren't performing at a high level, and I just refuse. I refuse to look at this as a talent gap. Are there some deficiencies? Sure. The defensive line could be better. I think the wide receivers lack that high-end number one receiver that we all know DeAndre Hopkins was. Could the tight ends be a little more talented? Yeah, probably. Are there some deficits? Sure. But there's the talent level with this football team is way down the list of reasons why they've struggled mightily the first 2 weeks out of the gate for 2020.
Because I think, and we've discussed them, Clint, I think some of these other issues that make the talent level further down the list, these other issues probably are making the Texans' talent look worse than it is. Because the Texans, I mean, Brandon Cooks did not just forget how to play football. That guy is more talented than what we've seen in the first two games. Will Fuller the same, Randall Cobb. Maybe it was, Randall Cobb, he's older. Randall Cobb was over 15 yards a catch last year and almost had 900 yards with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys.
Right.
Like these guys, there's a reason that everybody felt that the offensive line was going to take another step and be a strength for this team. They didn't all of a sudden just stink. I hope not. You would think there's something more to it than that. And so I think there is a case to be made that the way the Texans are playing and these other things that I believe you're going to talk about that are higher up on the list have something to do to make their talent look worse than it is.
Well, Show, it's just hard for me to look at it as a talent gap being the issue when you look at what the Titans were able to do last year in the playoffs and make the run and beat New England and beat Baltimore and have Kansas City on the ropes in the AFC Championship when clearly – New England wasn't more talented than the Tennessee Titans, but I think there was a significant gap in talent
and coaching
between Baltimore and Tennessee and Kansas City and Tennessee. So there's you one example. There's another example this year that's a little bit more current is Jacksonville beats Indy week one when it's no secret the Jacksonville Jaguars organization, they're shipping every talented player that they have out the door, and they beat Indy week one. In prep today, you mentioned Green Bay last year when without Adams at receiver and what they were able to do.
They won a bunch of games. The Chargers aren't as talented as the Chiefs, and they took them to the wire with a rookie quarterback who neither one of us think is going to be worth the damn in the league.
Right. Well, yeah, I may be wrong. May add
Justin Herbert
to another time when I was wrong again. But he made some good throws against Kansas City, but. The point of the conversation, right, is that you every day you turn the radio on, every day you turn the TV on, all you hear about is these guys suck. This guy, you know, we take a caller and Max Sharping, you wasted a pick on him, and Titus Howard, what the hell were you thinking, wasting a pick on this guy, and David Johnson's too expensive, and all these reasons why these guys aren't talented enough to win football games, and I just can't get down with it. I can't in any way, shape, or form wrap my head around it. We put a stat out there yesterday where the Texans are struggling mightily this year in pass protection. I get it. They were last year at one point, ranked eighth in the NFL.
31st now.
In pass block win rate. I mean, you're it's the same group, guys. It's the talent didn't just disappear overnight. And so
they brought some guys off the street to have to play on the offensive line when Tytus Howard got hurt.
Yeah.
Guys that you would think are less talented than that.
So I mean, while there's definitely some positions that you can point at and say, man, boy, it sure would be nice given what the Texans are spending on players right now and for through the near future, you would like for there to be no deficiencies. I understand that, and that's a different conversation. But when you talk about the Texans being dominated week one and week two of this season by the top AFC teams in this league, it ain't got anything to do with having talent or not having talent. To me, that's a cop out. To me, that's just not the case. And if it were the case, you see teams like Tennessee overcoming a talent gap week in, week out, and it's not an excuse. And it's a silly way of looking at what's going on with the Texans right now.
No, I mean, I think many of it, Clint Sterner in the show here with you, right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610, we're discussing is talent, is the gap of talent, is that pretty much the reason why the Texans have looked the way that they have? And I'm with you, man. Even their top guys, I don't think people would argue with their contracts and what they got paid. You got the highest paid left tackle in the game right now. I don't think many people would argue and say that Laremy Tunsil isn't talented enough to deserve that contract. I know damn sure people aren't going to say that about your quarterback, who got the second biggest contract in the league, not to mention J.J. Watt, who we saw again step forward last week and be a dominant force that when healthy people believe in and think is good. So, yes, we've seen teams that are less talented than this.
Yeah.
Be good. But what is it then? So what if the talent gap isn't the deal, what would you say
You know where I'm going to go with it. I mean, you look at the first two games, and game one, the defense just didn't come out and play. The energy, the effort, the physicality. I think the being dialed in, it was the team didn't show up to play. I don't care how talented they were. They didn't show up to play, and Kansas City looked like they had been through a physical training camp, and they came out ready to play. It's about being ready to play. It's not about lacking talent. I think the defense proved that in week two. They came out ready to play, and I think for the most part, they played a pretty damn good football team, and they battled for four quarters. And there's some times in there on the where on the fourth and one where Ingram hit his head on a goalpost, where you go, man, you'd rather bow your neck a little bit right there and get a stop and at least not allow a touchdown run. So, yeah, there's some problems.
But we didn't even get to see talent on plays like that. It was just pure confusion.
So there ain't no doubt about it, man, that if this team cleans up the situational football, if this team shows up, just learns how to consistently show up and not accept sinking your floor to the level of your opponent, which they hadn't had to do that the first 2 weeks because it was the best two teams in the AFC, but like we saw last year against Denver and Carolina and Jacksonville, don't let your floor sink to that level. Don't show up 1 week not ready to play like you did opening week against Kansas City, and that's a big step in the right direction. Because you break that film down that dropped yesterday of the Texans, and we talked about it. Deshaun Watson missed three touchdowns on one drive. You can look at the interception when they got the ball back after the Kiki QT fumble. You look at the interception that he then threw on that drive, and it's fair to say that he should have been working to the other side of the field where there was no underneath coverage. You had Fuller screaming with nothing but green pastures to run from the far left side of the field to the right. And so if you just want to dial in on the quarterback play, if the quarterback plays better on three of six snaps on Sunday, it's a one-possession game with the Baltimore Ravens.
We know there's no
Ravens.
Talent issue there.
Yeah, it's not a talent issue. We can talk about it, and I have no problem analyzing the fact that the wide receivers for this football team are struggling creating separation. They're not getting any help from the play caller, and they're struggling on their own. They're NFL you know, high caliber wide receivers. They should be creating separation. There's no doubt about that, Show. But when you look at the film, there's opportunities where they did create separation and the play wasn't made. And so with all the problems that come with early season, with maybe not being as talented at the top number one receiver position, there's going to be some challenges there. But with those challenges, there were opportunities for big plays. There were opportunities to put points on the board, and it didn't happen. There were opportunities, even though I'll agree with you, the play caller's struggling right now. It's not where it needs to be. The quarterback is not a great fit for the scheme that they're trying to execute, in my opinion. But with all that said, there were opportunities to score points and get this to a one-possession game and make this sucker interesting versus one of the best teams in the league. And right now, 2 weeks in, one of the best defenses in the league.
And here's the thing is, going into the games against those two opponents, I would agree that the Ravens and the Chiefs are overall roster-wise more talented than the Texans. It's not the Grand Canyon, though.
No.
It's not the Grand Canyon.
No.
And you know that the coaching staffs, if we're going to be real, and those two, there are advantages for the Ravens and Chiefs over the Texans, especially Hill, not just in the head coach, but your coordinators are first-time play callers, and you're dealing with Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, and then Steve Spagnuolo, who's been a former head coach and a Super Bowl-winning defensive coordinator, and then you're dealing with Greg Roman, who has been in this league for a long time, and a guy with one of the greatest names in the history of the sport, Wink Martindale, as the defensive coordinator for the Ravens. So there are an advantage with the coaching staff, but you damn sure ain't gonna get nowhere if you're not coming out as a team, the players 100% focused and dialed in. And through the first two games, there has been issues with those areas. So you can't have the coaching disadvantage and not come out dialed in 100%. Those are two big issues. All right. Deshaun Watson should be coming up and speaking to the media here in a second. Also, J.J. Watt. And one thing I'll say, Clint, I hope J.J. Watt, when he speaks to the media, has the same energy about Ross Blacklock that he does about these questions that are coming about his brothers. I'll just say that. I hope that J.J. is in a place of, hey, damn it, man, we're 0-2.
Yeah,
I mean, we didn't just got worked over.
I love little brother and all, but they're 2-0, and we're 0-2, man. Let's move on.
Can we talk about, you're going to ask me questions about Ben Roethlisberger or this. So I hope he's got that same energy. All right, coming up, the quarterback, the savior of the franchise, Deshaun Watson, will be speaking to the media, and you can hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. That is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Deshaun Watson speaking to the media coming up here momentarily. We will have that for you very, very soon. It'll be interesting to hear what he has to say coming up because this is back-to-back performances where the offense struggled and there were issues there and. It'll be really, really interesting to see where his mindset is. Because I'm curious, man, if you played in this league, your quarterback, Clint, if you're Deshaun after those first two games, you watched the film, you did the film work, you've seen things, you know what's going on, and you know who you're about to play, what kind of mindset would you be in?
Well, this is where Deshaun earns his money. I mean, this is where Deshaun – look, you got 10 guys that look into your eyes every play of every game, and they're going to be a direct reflection of you. If there's any doubt, if there's any lack of confidence, if there's bad body language, then you're going to get a lot of that in return. And you can't have that if you're going to win in the NFL. And so this is what guys like Deshaun Watson, this is why they get paid the big bucks. Obviously, if you're a quarterback, look, we can break down every position that the Texans have on offense and defense, and we can analyze each one of those positions and positives and negatives, and ultimately it's not been good enough to get the victory. But if you're Deshaun Watson, this is one of those weeks where you analyze your play at quarterback and you say, it doesn't matter how bad the protection was, it doesn't matter how bad the play calling was, It doesn't matter how good of a scheme fit you are or you are not. It doesn't matter how much you're running the football versus passing the football. Doesn't matter what the defense is doing. There were opportunities on the field for me as a quarterback to move the football, score points, and essentially put my team in position to have a better chance to win the ball game. Period. That's all that matters. And so there were moments when Deshaun Watson gets happy feet. He sees and feels the rush a little bit too much, and those times. And look, we, as a former quarterback, I know it's hard. When you're getting your wig split every single time you snap the football and there's pressure in your face every time, it's human nature to throw off your back feet. It's human nature to get happy feet and bail from the pocket. But when you're one of the better quarterbacks in this league, turn the TV on. You see those guys. You see Russell Wilson. I'm looking through the studio over here. I just saw Russell Wilson lace a dime down the field when he was getting hit in the chin. That's what you're paid the big bucks for. And Deshaun's got to take that approach moving forward with how he addresses practice, film, how he addresses his huddle. And when it's all said and done, no matter how big or often the problems come up, it's about there were opportunities. And that's got to be what drives Deshaun Watson moving forward. He's got to work on anchoring his feet. He's got to work on not seeing and feeling the rush as much as he can. And he's got to work on continuing to drive the football down the field and be accurate.
All right, from our quarterback here at Sports Radio 610, Clint Sterner, to your quarterback of the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson is at the podium. Here's him speaking to the media this week.
Deshaun, when you look at the Steelers' pass rush and the way they come after the quarterback, what do you see from them personnel-wise and scheme-wise, in particular Watt and Dupree?
Yeah, a lot of height, a lot of size. Definitely want to be physical, a lot of speed. So they definitely want to create some disruption up front and try to get to the quarterback.
As an offense, what do you feel like the identity of your offense is right now? What is the vision? What do you guys hope to be as an offense as you guys are in some transition now with new receivers and some other personnel?
We want to be balanced. I mean, we want to run, we want to pass, we want to do all the things that we need to do, get on the same page and make sure we're on the same rhythm. So we're building that week to week and building that chemistry. And, we're just where we want to be, and it's just going to continue to grow and get better.
Hey, Sean, you've thrown to Jordan Akins a lot early so far this season. What's he done just to earn your trust and make a jump here in his third year in the NFL for him?
Yeah, he's just been showing up, playing physical, strong with the ball, creating separation with on his routes. And he's just been doing the things that we've been asking him to do. He's been, very, very reliable. He's, in this offense, you got to be, smart, but you got to be able to make a lot of plays at the tight end position. And that's what he's been doing. So, we're happy that he's continuing to build and grow, and he's coming along very, very, very well.
Deshaun, when you watch TJ on tape, TJ Watt, what do you think of what he's doing, how disruptive he can be, and how much does he remind you of your teammate?
Yeah, I mean, he's strong, fast. He's doing a lot of things that Pittsburgh want him to do. He's getting to the quarterback as much as he can. Very, very productive in the run game, and definitely, of course, productive in the passing game. So, of course, we got to make sure we contain him and do the things that are trying to limit his ability to get to me or to the ball carrier. But he's doing a great job for Pittsburgh.
I know it's an obvious question, but how much is it on your mind, your teammates' minds, that you just don't want to be 0-3?
I mean, that's not the issue. I mean, we're not really thinking about that. We're just worried about, doing what we need to do out there on Sundays and playing our best, best football. And we'll see what the outcome comes. And, that's all we can do is just put our head down and grind and just work and try to do what we do and see what the outcome come like. And, of course, we don't want to be 0-3, but that's not the main thing that's on our minds right now.
Deshaun, earlier you talked about chemistry. Do you feel like so much was made this week about you being, hit by the opposing defense? Do you think that has a lot to do with just your offensive linemen getting the game speed down and getting themselves together because there was no preseason?
No, I mean, just building chemistry. Some of that stuff is myself. It's got to, protect myself and get rid of the ball a little faster. Some of the stuff is the play call, and sometimes, I put myself in positions in a run game to get hit and things like that. But, we're just coming along, and that's just part of the game. I'm, expected to take some shots because that's the game of football and the way I play the game. So, it's not a big issue for me.
Can you talk about what if you had to pick one or two things that really have to, you guys have to really do better or differently going into game three, going into Pittsburgh this weekend, in terms of what your focus is, what that would be?
Scoring in the red zone. Of course, we kick field goals, but we want to score touchdowns. Protect the ball, no turnovers, and just clean operation. If we can do those three things, I think we'll be just fine.
Deshaun, when you look at the offense so far, do you feel like the timing that you're starting to get with your receivers, we saw you connect more with Brandon this past game. Do you feel like that's starting to come along just because you've had more reps together and kind of know the way he wants to run a route? What do you see from that? And are you hopeful that Will could get more involved this week? Bill O'Brien said that he's feeling better about him and his health right now.
Yeah, that's the plan. I mean, you just keep continue to build chemistry. I mean, this is – we didn't have off season. It's a whole new receiving core other than, you know, Stills and Fuller. But, you know, bringing those guys along and just getting on the same page. What are those guys good at? What am I good at throwing with those guys? And just trying to just, you know, continue to build that chemistry and that trust, you know, within each other. And that's coming along well. And, you know, sometimes it takes time. And we just got to, you know, not get discouraged and just keep pushing forward and until it, you know, actually take off, you know, like we want it to.
Deshaun, what do you think that it will be, you know, the game plan? I'm not asking for a specific game plan, but you're going up against some teams.
Man, you're the fan. Now you can't. I can't get a game plan out.
But you're going up against a team that blitzes over 61% of the time of, you know, all the defensive calls. Like, do you see that would be an advantage for you all as far as having those running backs out of the backfield that can catch maybe some screens, some short passing game?
Yeah, they do pressure a lot. And they try to, you know, get five in the rush. They do a great job of doing what they do. And they're very, very disciplined. And, you know, it's been very successful for them for years. So, you know, if I was them, I would be the same way. I wouldn't change it. I would do what I do because that's what we're good at. So, you know, we got to make sure we pick up the blitz and the pressures and the different things that they try to disguise and see. And, you know, for me, just really just finding an open guy. If it's the running back, if it's the tight end, the receivers, I got to be patient and find the open guy and see, you know, there's going to be a lot of contested balls that, you know, the DBs do a good job of being on our receivers. So, you know, we just got to go out there and make plays and be on the same page.
All right, that is the quarterback, Deshaun Watson, as he spoke to the media today. Real quick, Clint, anything jump out to you?
I mean, I think get on the same page, you know, a lot of chemistry talk, a lot of rhythm talk, and there's some truth to that. These guys haven't, you know, they should be behind in a sense of not being in step, lockstep with teams like Kansas City. So while I understand that, it's definitely a work in progress, but an 0-3 start is definitely an issue. And there's before, you know, getting off to a quicker start is obviously something the Texans have to do. You don't want to look up in 4 or 5 weeks in and be talking about this same issue of not being on the same page. There's no doubt about it. I mean, again, the first 2 weeks of the season, they faced two top 10 defenses. They got another one coming to town that happens to have a lot of success pressuring the quarterback.
All right. He spoke about pressure and him being hit. Well, we got nobody better that we can go to get information on what the hell is going on with that up front. 12-year NFL offensive lineman Wade Smith, who was probably a part of the last good offensive line here in Houston. He's going to join us and help us understand what the hell is going on with the Texans' protection leading to so many hits from Deshaun Watson. Wade Smith coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
J.J. Watt will be coming up here in a bit as he speaks to the media today. But joining us right now is 12-year NFL vet, former Houston Texan. You know him well. That is our guy, Wade Smith, former offensive lineman. And we just – I know Clint was wanting to talk to you about some of the stuff that's happening protection-wise to get your expertise. I want to start this off by a text that was sent in, and it says this: I love your station, but all you guys have totally overestimated the talent of this offensive line. Just because they're returning doesn't mean they're any good. Titus Howard wouldn't be even on anybody's team, maybe as a backup. Do you think that's what it is, that these guys just aren't as good as we thought? Because to me, Clint, I thought, wait, the reason why this O-line or this offense could be better is because this O-line will be as improved and maybe one of the better O-lines since you played. Do you think it's a talent thing?
Well, first of all, to answer the texter, Titus Howard would be on a lot of rosters. Titus Howard would be starting for a bunch of teams in this league, not the majority of them, but he'd be a starter on other teams. So just to address that part right there, as far as looking at what they were last year and what they have put on the film this year, they haven't progressed. And in some cases, they've regressed. And that's a big problem of what I'm seeing when I'm looking at it on the table. You know, you guys and a lot of us talking about the offensive line coming into the season had reason to believe that guys are going to get better, because in this league, either you get better, you get gone. And so, guys do regress. And what you've seen in the first couple of weeks is, you know, Zach Fulton has struggled mightily. He struggled at the right guard spot. Max Sharpen has not progressed like you would have thought he would have progressed going into year two. Now, is it too early to make a full judgment on what these guys are going to do for the entire year? I would say, yeah. I mean, it's too early in the ball game, especially when you look at what the offseason was like and you look at what they're having to deal with schematically to get things done. I think it might be a little bit too soon to make that judgment. You know what, the offensive line is bad and they're going to be bad all year. Some of the things that you're seeing out of them is some of the same stuff we were saying last year and years past of them struggling with simple stuff. And that stuff got better as the year progressed. And we'll get into some of the detail of the simple stuff I'm talking about as we go along. But there's simple things that they're not doing correctly. And last year they had those same issues and they started working through them and they got better as the year went on. We haven't seen that. You would think that they would naturally progress from where they left off, but that hasn't been the case so far.
Wade, talk a little bit about the scheme aspect of it, man. I mean, to me, when I watch, and hell, I didn't play offensive line, so I can't technically give you a pass set the way that I probably should be able to, Wade. But when I look at these guys and I analyze film, I mean, there's guys doing things, getting their shoulders parallel to the sideline and getting completely out of position to handle any kind of just basic D-tackle twist and things of that nature. That to me, I don't look at that and go, man, these guys, the talent is not there to play the position at a high level. It strikes me as, man, they're surprised by what's going on, by guys that are coming or aren't coming. They're surprised by essentially not being prepared, and then it's almost like a panic mode when protection goes when the ball is snapped and it's time to perform. Am I missing the boat there in a sense of it seems like they're surprised, confused way too often?
So this is the thing. With offensive line play, you mentioned the games, the ET games, TE games, three-man games. Teams that play the Houston Texans, they know that if we run games on them, we're going to get home because their interior three guys don't do a good enough job of defeating the penetrator. Usually when there's a game, there's one person that's going to try to pick one lineman and somebody else is going to wrap around, which is called the looper, right? The guards on this team and the center on this team, they don't use their hand in a manner to defeat that penetrator. So because of that, you got guys coming through with the penetrator and the looper. And that's because their technique, that the way that they're taught is they snatch guys up. Now, there's some coaches that like to snatch guys up as offensive linemen and don't let them go. And other coaches like you to punch them or to jam them or to create separation so that everybody can stay on the same level. If you're going to be a team that says, you know what, we're going to snatch guys up and throw them around, then you better have three grown men at those interior spots that can basically pick on other grown men. There's not a lot of offensive linemen that are built like that can handle games like that in that manner. So to me, that's a technique thing. And that's also like a philosophical thing, a way they approach being offensive linemen and playing that position. That's coaching. That's the way they teach it. So if they're teaching it that way, teams that are playing them know that, oh, we can run games on them all day and we'll get home. Well, that's a problem because I can't tell the left guard, hey, you need to go ahead and start punching now because you've been teaching them this whole time to not be a puncher. So now you're going to say, well, make him automatically stronger. You're just going to make somebody stronger from week one to week three. That's not going to happen. So you see a lot of leakage up front that it has to do with that. You see issues where teams will blitz the Texans because they know one of two things are going to happen. Somebody's going to come free, and the quarterback's not, Watson's not going to get rid of the ball early because for multiple reasons. Watson might not get rid of the ball early because it's 3rd and 11, and he knows if I throw the hot, we're only going to get 5-6 yards, and we're going to have to punt, or we're going to have to kick a field goal. He wants to make the big play like he did in Buffalo, because that happened. I was watching on the tape. There was a play, I forgot what quarter it was, either 3rd or 4th quarter, 3rd and 11. He gets sacked on a play where Brandon Cooks and Jordan Akins are both open on the quick slant if they would have just hit him hot. Well, instead of him throwing that hot, if he throws that hot, they probably get a 6-yard gain. There's no sack, but it's still 4th and 6 or 4th and 5. Instead, he tried to pull a Houdini like he did last year against Buffalo, where when he did it against Buffalo, that won the game. Everybody's excited about it. He tried to pull the same thing against the Ravens. It didn't work. It ended up being a sack. Now it's 4th and 16 or whatever it is. So you have a combination of factors that's going on with the fact that the technique is not what it needs to be. You have guys that are physically just getting beat. You have sometimes the quarterback holding on to the ball too long. I mean, they talk about protection is like a group thing. The one position that I think is played at a very high level when it comes to protection is the running backs. David Johnson does an excellent job in pass protection. He does an excellent job. Duke Johnson, when he has his opportunities to step in there and pass block, he does a good job in pass blocking. The tight ends have struggled, and each guy along the front of the line has taken opportunities of struggling in pass protection, and then the quarterback has struggled. And so now you have a bunch of times a quarterback's getting hit. There's times he's getting hit where there's no way he should get hit. And so when as an offensive lineman, if you're getting your quarterback hit extra amount of times, you can't be mad at him when he has happy feet back there, because you're part of that problem. So when Bill O'Brien gets up on the press conference and he says we all got to get better, it's got to get better quick, that part he ain't lying, because it's not just one thing. It's not just one person you can point at that has to correct it in order for the offense to play at the level that the actual talent would tell you that they would be able to play at.
Wade Smith, former 12-year NFL vet offensive lineman. Wade, you said earlier there are just some simple things that they're not doing right. And Clint yesterday really broke down the quarterback film and talked about, hey, man, with the protection, they just need to simplify the hell out of this and just make it easier so everyone understands. What are some of these simple things that can be corrected that they're not doing right across the offensive line?
Well, what Clint is talking about is them declaring the point. And Clint calls it as declaring the mic. I just say it's the point. This is the person that we're going to slide the protection to. They are going to try to get the perfect call every single play. And because you're trying to make the perfect call every single play, the defense knows that. The defense knows is they're going to try to do their best to get themselves in the best position to block everybody. And they're not. If they can keep themselves from being hot, they're going to keep themselves from being hot off of one guy, one side of the ball or the other. And so I'm going to play games with you. When you watch the Ravens, their safeties running down in the box and then bailing out of there. There's guys walking up on the line on the offensive line because they know once they walk up, then the offensive line has to take those guys, basically declare them that they're going to block them. Then those guys will hold long enough to get the pressure off the edge free. And then they'll bail out of there and protect, or they're playing games with the offensive line. Until the offensive line handles those types of blitzes, they're going to get picked on for the entire year. That's just how it works in the NFL. Once they find a scab, they're going to pick at it and pick at it. And until you show me that you can stop it, we're going to keep doing it. And so that means Watson's got to throw those hots. That means that the offensive line has to work off the simple games. If they're running a 3-man game, and you have the penetrator is a little guy. And when I say the penetrator, that's the person that they might have, because I was watching the Ravens game. I think it was number 36. He was a safety. He walks up on the guard and he's picking the center. So he's basically going to run directly into the shoulder of the center. And then on the opposite side of the line, I think it was Matt Judon. He's lined up over the left guard and he loops around, right? Well, if I'm the right guard, if I'm Zach Fulton, I got this little guy in front of me, I'm going to jam the out of him. And I can't say the word I want to say, but I'm going to jam out of him. And we used to have, it was like we had a a deal with the offensive line is if you can knock the penetrator into the looper, you got paid extra money. Like, because that was the goal. If you defeat the penetrator, the games can't work, right? So if you got this little guy that's going to be the penetrator, you knock him into the looper, then the game can never get home. The quarterback has a lot of time to work. Well, Zach Fulton just did a poor job of basically grabbing on and riding the penetrator down and then getting his shoulders turned. And then the looper comes free and the guy off the edge that he's hot off of is free too. So instead of Deshaun having one guy to deal with, he's got two guys to deal with that are in his face. That's bad ball by the offensive line. He's got to know that I'm going to use my hands. I have long arms. He's 6'5". The guards, every offensive lineman on this team is at least 6'4". They got long arms. They got to use them and knock one defender into the other. That's simple. That's like simple stuff. Like, you know that coming into the league when you're in college, that's how you defeat a game. You create separation. You knock the penetrator into the looper, and you keep everybody on the line of scrimmage on the same level. The Texans do a terrible job of that right now. They have to correct that before you can get a lot of other things done when you're just talking about schematically and how to defeat some of these blitzes that they're coming up with, because they'll come up with a blitz where they'll walk a guy up over the guard and that guy's not coming, but he's just occupying space, so you have to honor him. Well, when that being the case, if you're a smart guard, you know, I'm going to hold for a second, and then I might pop out and block that edge, the edge guy, the DB that's coming off the edge, and block him. He doesn't see you coming, and that gives the quarterback more time. But before you can get progress at that point, you got to be able to just be solid in normal pass protection and eliminate games. And that's the part where the Texans are doing a bad job of it. And they did that last year too, but then they got better. So what you have to hope is, as the season goes on, they get better at that. Because if they don't, it's going to be a long year for Deshaun. It's going to be a long year for this offense, and especially going to be a long game in Pittsburgh, because they're going to do a lot of the same things that the Ravens do. And to me, the Pittsburgh front seven is better than the Ravens. When you just look at, you know, person for person, can I win a one-on-one matchup against my guy? I would take the Ravens front seven over – I mean, excuse me, I would take the Steelers front seven over the Ravens, even though both of them are damn good.
All right, that's Wade Smith, former 12-year NFL vet.
Damn, I could do that all day. I know you could, ball, man.
Just explaining what the hell is going on with the pressure and why Deshaun is taking so many hits. We appreciate you jumping on with us, and hopefully, as you said, their front seven's better than the one they faced, but hopefully you see some improvements out there coming up on Sunday, man. Thanks for joining us, Wade.
Hey, Show, before I jump off of here, man,
damn,
one thing I didn't get to, Max Sharpin on one of the plays on the run play went the wrong way. Max Sharpin is one of the smartest guys. Every person I've ever talked to about Max Sharpin tells me he's one of the smartest guys. He's like Rain Man out there. He knows everything when it comes to knowing where to go, the direction, all that type of stuff. There's issues going on with their operation and communication. You heard Deshaun mention that in that press conference. The communication up front, the operation, trying to get into the perfect play every time, that's some of the things that occur when that's your way of operating. You have guys that are really smart making mistakes of going the wrong way, which is something that's not acceptable for my youth football kids that are in the fourth, fifth grade right now. You can't go the wrong way. That's the type of stuff that's going on up front. They got to get that stuff corrected quick, fast, and hurry.
All right, appreciate you, Wade. Thank you so much. That's Wade Smith, former 12-year NFL vet and a part of the best offensive line that we've seen at Houston since Wade Smith was there. But that's one thing we've talked about, a lot of thinking instead of a lot of playing, and that's got to be better. Like he said, Max Sharp just going the wrong way. All right, coming up, Clint, the injury report is out. There are some extra names that were not on the list last week, and some guys who didn't even participate, completely full starters, big names. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.